Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
So glad to be able to see you all again.
So are we.
Thank you, dear. Well, according to the U.S. government, today is the first day of fall. According to how the planet generally dances with the sun, we're at a point that is called the equinox, right? Equal night. Equinox, yeah. And so if you pay attention to when the sun rises and when the sun sets, it's approximately the same moment in the morning as it is 12 hours later in the evening. And when I was on the coast this weekend, guess what I got to see? Yeah. And when the moon was full, oh my goodness, wasn't that amazing? Even in its somewhat reduced state, it's still amazing. Wow. Equinox is one of those points in the year where the Earth is in a particular relationship with the sun. And it has to do with the angle that we're tilting at as we go around. And what has happened is the sun is not only, this day and night are not only equal, the sun from our perspective here, very close to the 45th latitude, is almost exactly due west. So it's a good way to figure out whether your street is going east or west or not. Right? Because that point, it's just right there. Right? And what's going to happen now is every day, 1 minute shorter day, as it goes 1 minute on the latitudes further and further south for 90 minutes, if you will, 90 days until we get to that winter solstice. And then it'll stand there 3 days, the solstice standing, sun standing. But the equinox is a basically 24-hour period. Our government likes to assign a point in time. This is the equinox moment. I have a feeling we're not going to be doing that too many more years. But that's another story. And what's cool about being aware of such things is that it demonstrates to us that it's not just in us that there are moments where everything is just perfectly balanced. And sometimes when they're not. Everything is just in that moment where it isn't quite this and it isn't quite that. You know, I noticed that our little doorkeeper this morning, I don't see her here right now. She's up. Oh, there you are. Hi, sweetheart. So you were lovely. You held open the door. Well, when I got here, she had a sweater on, as we all probably had an extra layer on before 10 in the morning during this moment where it isn't quite one or the other, right? And then by the middle of the day, well, it didn't even take half an hour before that sweater came off when the sun came shining in, right? So it isn't, each day even isn't quite summer, isn't quite fall. It's something like that, right? As I'm driving across the Coast Range, some of the trees are beginning to drop their leaves, but still there's summer fruits and blossoms, right? What is this? We're in what is called a liminal state. It is neither that nor that. It's not summer, it's not fall, it's not, it's not that the minister full-time that we installed is here. We know we have one.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is a liminal state. This is a state where it isn't quite what we thought it was going to be, and it isn't quite what it's going to be, right? It isn't what it was, and it isn't going to be, isn't what it's going to be. In cultures where they have very lengthy rites of passage, this is a part of life. Everyone expects this. Imagine being a 9 or 10-year-old girl or boy, and knowing that you're going to go through, and that some of you don't have to imagine this, right? Or you may remember, and you know you're going to go through a process where at the end of this, you're not going to be a child anymore. At the end of this process, you are going to be an adult in the community. In the Jewish community, that usually shows up as bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, right? You go through a process. In indigenous cultures, there will be a time of separation from the family. You're no longer a child in the family, and you're not yet an adult with your own home. So there's usually special living quarters and special activities for people who are going through this rite of passage, where they are neither child nor adult. Now, what happens during that time, as anyone who practices new thought is aware, you have to let go, as she was saying, of old thoughts, old beliefs, old assumptions, things that no longer serve us. Oh, that. What am I going to replace them with? I'm not entirely sure, because I can't know what it's going to be until I let go of what it's been, right? So there is this state. This is the liminal state between what was and what is unfolding. Fortunately, more often than not, especially in the New Thought tradition, what emerges is more of the essence of who we are. Right? And in indigenous cultures, what emerges is who we have defined ourselves to be in the adult community. The age varies in different cultures because the quantity of things one has to know how to do varies. In our culture, we don't allow for much of that, except for those years we call high school, where you're not yet a kid, you got to follow all those adult rules. You're still in that range, but you're not yet adult because, well, you're just not ready yet. That's hard. That is really hard. And it lasts, for some people, a lifetime. Ideally, we would have a process of closure somewhere between the ages of 18 and, 30. Somewhere in there where we would say, all right, yeah, you can drink, yeah, you can drive, yeah, you can vote, but now you are on your own. We know you have all the skills, and we know that you can create an environment for other people. Our culture doesn't do that very well. The closest thing we have to that is called the wedding. That is our rite of passage into adulthood for most people. And when I was going through high school, about a third of my class had that right after graduation. When I was going through college, about half my class had that after graduation. The commencement wasn't their adulthood. Experience. It wasn't the initiation, it was the wedding, where they got to think about what a home was going to be and what the life that they were building looks like. And that's really what we're talking about in liminal states. We're talking about allowing what was to no longer be, and focusing on the qualities, not the specifics, the qualities of what can be and what we are choosing for the future. Sometimes when we're in a situation where we've been going on and we're doing the same thing over and over again, maybe we've had a job or we've been part of a household and a family where we've had a very clear role. And we've done this for years and years, and we're getting pretty stale because it's become routine. And there isn't a whole lot of energy in what we are doing anymore. This is why college professors have sabbaticals. And what a sabbatical really is, Sabbath, it usually happens in the 7 years. You do 7 years and then you take, or you do 6 years and then you take a sabbatical, depending on the institution. And on this Sabbath, you get to stop. No more routine, at least not the same one. And you get to reflect and maybe try something new and different. Maybe go someplace new and different. Now, some college professors get a research grant and it covers their costs, and they go off and they do an archaeological dig. That's what my uncle used to do. Or they go off and they connect with some museum or some library somewhere, and they get to go deep into the archives and dig up this material that they've been curious about for a long time and never had time to really get into. And that's fun, I gotta tell you. And that's what a lot of ministers end up doing on their sabbatical, is go off and do those things. And some set up opportunities to write their books. Yep. Well, what we're doing is saying, not the same old, something new is trying to be born in me. Ah, the new thought is trying to emerge. I am going to release that which no longer serves me, this routine that I'd got into, allow this essence of who I am to be expressed in a new and different way. And that's the liminal state. Now, what's weird about the liminal state and the weird about the human mind is when we start to let go of what we have, what do we want to do? I'm letting it go. Oh, can I let it go? No, I think, I guess I have to, don't I? Yeah. So often these liminal states involve a fair amount of anxiety and concern because we go into that state, which is part of what's going on in the political situation, by the way, and that's all I'm saying. That anxiety of over what I thought life was and what I'm afraid might possibly happen is part of the liminal state. And because there is anxiety and often intense emotions in that state, when people go through it together, they tend to bond in a cohort. Now, I think we have a few military veterans in the room who have been through some pretty intense liminal states. For the guys that went through World War II, I knew a bunch of them, and in their 80s and 90s still, 70s, 80s, and 90s, those hours in the trenches, and a lot of Vietnam vets, those hours in the trenches were the ultimate liminal state. It's like Schrodinger's cat. You're neither dead or alive, and if anyone looks, you don't know yet, right? And you go through that with someone, and there is a bonding that happens that never ends. It is so intense. Now, Scott Peck, the psychiatrist, understood that bond. He knew that when people go through this intense kind of, I have no idea whether I'm alive or dead, or whether what's going to emerge is going to be okay. When they've gone through that together, they form what a guy named Victor Turner called communitas, or communitas in English. And communitas, a communitas is that state of deep connection where you know no matter what, you are connected because you have been through the worst. And in a lot of indigenous cultures, the kids that are going through their initiation process are going to have a fair amount of pain in the process. Tattooing without an anesthetic, right? Any number of things like that. Carving on their teeth. All kinds of things go on in various initiatory processes. And so the kids bond in that communitas. So you now have a cohort that are entering adulthood that are so deeply bonded that, of course, the community must come together and stay together. That is part of what those extended rites of passage do. And we don't have that. The closest thing that we used to have for kids that were not actually going into the war zone was what we called boot camp. It's not like that anymore, but it was for a while. And the work that I do in organizations, we use Scott Peck's method to get people to communitas by allowing them to get into chaos, and in fact, encouraging them, so that they feel that mutual anxiety and they feel the mutual relief of, oh, we got through that together. And that's one of the potentially wonderful things about going through this kind of liminal state together. Communitas, that deep bonding where you know no matter what happens, you're going to get through this, and you're together. Yeah. I think the Friends band knows this one. A few decades now. Yeah. Yeah, just a few. Right? You've been through the worst. You know you can make it through the rest. So there's that moment before the community happens that is absolutely empty. Scott Peck called it the emptiness. Where do we go next? That balance point. At the solstice, it's, is the sun ever coming back? At the equinoxes, oh, wow, the days are getting shorter and the trees are losing their leaves. Is it going to be okay? I don't know, but at the point of balance, at that emptiness that is the equinox, that's what Deepak Chopra calls the gap. That's what Joe Dispenza calls the field of nothing, no one, and nowhere. In that place is where we make the choice to be community, to be the qualities that are the essence of us, or to fall back and be a kid again. Shucks, that doesn't happen, I'm sorry. Unless you're in Okinawa and you turn 93, then you're allowed to be a kid again. But so how do we do that? How do we find that place where we know what we're choosing when we're in that point of, well, whatever it was, it can't happen anymore. And I got no idea what it's going to be, and I'm hanging in the balance. Well, coming to a place like this is useful, huh? Yeah. Surrounding ourselves with people who have the qualities, or are at least seeking the qualities, that somehow draw us, because those qualities are the essence of us. Our soul self, our spirit self, is always inviting us, hey, this is who you really are. You want to be it? I'm here. I'm happy to be through you, as you, with all the power of infinite source, infinite mind, here and now. And meanwhile, the ego is going, oh, no, don't go there. Don't go there. That's unfamiliar territory. Don't go there. And spirit is saying, really, I'll give you rest. My yoke is light. My burden is light. So when we're hanging in the balance, there's any number of guidelines you can use, but going where the light feels like it is a very good guideline, right? And one of the ways that I've shared with you before that you can know that is my three E's. If it is effortless to bring myself to do it, if it is enjoyable to do, and if I am energized by it, it's the spirit working through me, and that's the direction I want to move. I'm energized by doing and being that. Yes. It doesn't take any effort to make myself be it or do it, because it is who I am. And wow, is it fun. That's the direction we want to move. Now, there's any number of ways to get in touch with that. The easiest way is just sense. Does that feel like it really is enjoyable and energizing? But sometimes that default structure in the brain that we call the ego gets so busy telling us what things ought to be or should be or have been and how we dare not go anywhere else that we need to do some other things as well, right? And one of the most useful things is to journal, to look at what encourages me to feel really wonderful and what I haven't felt really good about. And going through my journal of the past helps me to do that. Ooh, I don't think I want to go back to when that happened. Ooh, yeah, that was really good. I think I'm going to go in that direction. Right? So journaling is a very helpful tool in that liminal state to begin to realize that I do have clarity about what is effortless, enjoyable, and energizing. I do know at some level what my essence is and what no longer serves me. Obviously, surrounding yourself with others who may be going through the same thing or may have gone a little bit ahead. This is why grandparents are important in children's growing up. They've had some of these experiences already. They know kind of what it's like on the other side of them. And this is why it takes a village to raise a child in an indigenous culture. Because everyone can contribute to our understanding of what no longer serves us and what we are ready to become. Yes. So as this wonderful community that I am delighted to be able to visit now and then, wanders through this particular liminal state of, yes, we've got our minister. Oops. We can focus on what is the essence of being here. And you're doing a beautiful job. As always, I have been so impressed with this community in this time that I've been able to work with you a little bit. Focus on what it is that we choose to be, what our essence is, yes? And if we have to go back and look at old documents and old journals to remind ourselves, good, that's another way to do it. Go to the website, look at old talks, whatever. That's a great way to do it. And also to remember that it's not just this community that's in a liminal state right now. It's not just the electoral process that's got us in a liminal space right now. The whole of humanity is hanging in the balance. We're tilting toward our essence. And there's a lot of evidence pointing in that direction if you're willing to see it. There are a number of websites, the Cool Down, the Good News Network, Positive News Now, all of these websites are showing us the ways that humanity is leaving behind that earlier state of being that was based on fear and control and moving into the essence of who we are as we leave behind that which no longer serves us and become who we truly are. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.